In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We have a small presentation today. We're talking about team building in the service. The presentation is just covering the topic of how to develop and to have a strong team work. And we'll go through, first of all, it starts from where you have a team already in chosen and it's working. So how do you make it successful and strong and communicative? The topics we're going to go through is first we'll define the team, and then we'll give a model of the dynamic of a dynamic team. How should it look like? And then we have the process roles needed. We'll discuss that, because in a team we need to have several types of people. And then the stages, the team stages of development. And then we ask yourself, where do you stand? First of all, the definition of the team. Not any group of people working together can be called a team, because they can be hindering the job accomplishment or not doing working towards a specific objective. A team is a group of people who are committed to the achievement of a common objective, who work together and enjoy doing so and producing high quality results. So it is work in harmony, but towards an objective, a certain objective. And the word team, they use it to say that together each achieve more. The idea about a team is it is a biblical idea, because throughout the Bible is filled with examples of teams. They are working together for the kingdom of heaven. Now we have Noah, who are working with his sons to make the boat, and we have Moses and Aaron, who were working together leading the people out of Egypt to the promised land. And we had Nehemiah, who had many teams and hundreds of people working with him to build the wall. Even Jesus himself, he sent out the 12 disciples and then the 72, all working in teams of two to accomplish his work. Also the Apostle Paul, he was working in teams, and they had in the first era of the church, even after Barnabas and Paul separated over John Mark, they both went with separate ways. Paul took Sila with him, and Mark went with Barnabas, and each had a mission to do as a team. So the team is a structure that is clear throughout the whole Bible, and it's clear that it's one of the main structures the Bible promotes. We have a simple model of what does a dynamic team should consist of, or what's the stages of a dynamic, to have a dynamic team. And this model is based on five stages. The strategy, which is the S, and then the open communication, and then the act, and then the relationships, and then the results. The strategy. Any team, to be a dynamic and to be a homogeneous team, they have to have a specific mission and target, and all members of the team should be aware and oriented about this mission or this objective that they're working towards. They should have goals to achieve, with results, measurable results to go after. The leadership in the team, or the organization chart of the team, should be well defined to everybody. Roles of each person, responsibilities, limitations, who to go to do what. This is should be very clear for a team to have a practical and a logical structure to start with. And this is the strategy stage. After this, there is the open communication stage. Also a dynamic team, or an effective working team, they should have an open communication, which means they should be able to share information openly, and the information should be specified. Who should know what? It's not open communication means anybody should know everything, but it is who knows what in the who is responsible for what and who is supposed to know it. And since we say that communication is always the most effective, or the most key to all successful relationships, even any human relationship, not only in a teamwork, then the more effective this communication in terms of who to know what and who to say to who and all this interrelationship between people, the more effective and professional this is, the more effective the team working is. Because sometimes people, they are handling information they should not be knowing, or it's not in their concern, so it confuses them or hinders their work, or it causes more negatives than positives. Also, in a good communication depends on identifying the information that needs to be shared. What are the various methods that we are going to communicate with each other? Is it reports? Is it emails? Sometimes it's phone calls, meetings. So according to the kind of information we should identify the means of communication between the team leaders, because the more effective this is also, the more dynamic and the more effective the team will be. They will not be wasting time just meeting if the information could be conveyed through a phone call, and vice versa. Also, team members should give and receive feedback to improve the individual and the team performance. There should be the information is not only giving data, but it is a communication, two-way communication. We give in information, we receive feedback, and every person in the team has this facility to do in order to increase communication. The third step in the model, or the third element in the model of a dynamic team, is the ACT. By ACT, we mean that a dynamic team defines how they want to work together. They need to determine that very well. How will things be handled among them? How will they make the decisions? How will they solve problems, the procedures, and who will be responsible for this? And how will they solve conflicts? If members of a team, they disagree to a point, what are the procedures? Who will be the listener? Who will be the judger? How will they communicate this relationship in making decisions, in problem solving, and in conflict resolution? After the ACT, we have the relationships. Actually, a team is working, but the mutual and the personal relationships between them is very important in the effectiveness of this team. If members of the team, they cannot talk openly about if they have problems, if they have suggestions, if they have new ideas, then there is a block inside the team, and it makes it even more difficult for them to handle. So a dynamic, effective team should have a relationship that allows all members to speak and share openly their opinions, their ideas, and even their feelings. Because the personal part in a team is very important, the human element. It's not only data and information and technical material, but it is it's the feelings. And we'll see that many of the teams, they may not go very effectively their work because people, they have feelings, they're ashamed to share, or they're embarrassed to share, or they're afraid to share. So express of feelings among team members and the openness in doing so helps them to be more homogeneous as a group and to achieve their targets easier. Another thing is that team members should be providing support and influence to one another, encouragements towards achieving the goal. And if one of the team members, he is lacking a certain skill or a certain ability, other team members should be able to support him and compensate for his discrepancy. By time, he will be able to pick up and develop, and maybe a very active part of the team. The fifth and the last point in the model of the dynamic team, which is the SOAR model, is the results. A dynamic team should be focused on the results. And the more they are able to evaluate the results against their original targets and original objectives, and make regular assessments of where do we stand, what did we achieve, what did go wrong, what did we go behind in schedule or in effort or in accomplishment in, the better the team results will take place. So they have to have regular assessment for their performance. They have to be able to evaluate, analyze, and study the points of weakness in the work processes as well in the members themselves, because sometimes the weaknesses is not, or that we could not achieve the target, or we're not up to it, not because of specific process, some process is wrong, but sometimes it's because of relationship problems between the team members. Some of the team members, they cannot cope with the speed or with the pace the other members of the team are going to, so he does not meet his deadline, so his part of the work is always behind schedule, and this hinders the whole job. So we have to have the time and to have the stand and the process of assessing, evaluating, analyzing. Are we going too fast? Are we going too slow? Every member of the team is keeping up with the same pace, or somebody is lacking. Maybe he's not very aware of the information he should know. Maybe there is a discrepancy in the communication. So from this end part, which is the results, we can actually know where is this discrepancy. Is it in the act itself? Is it in the communication? Is it in the relationships? Maybe he has a problem that is personal and he could not communicate it to other team members, or problem within the team, and because he could not communicate it, his performance is going, or he could not cope with the other members, and therefore the results is always behind schedule or behind the target. Later, after this assessment and this evaluation, the team should regularly be able to put an action planning. What are we going to do about this discrepancy, or about this shortage, or about this not achieving all goals, to propose more clear goals, tasks, and responsibilities to implement them. So the result of this stage is, after we assess, we have to make a new action plan or an amendment or a development so that we can go further. So these are actually the 5 points of the role, the model of a dynamic team, that he should have this 5 elements. Actually, a team has many members, and not all members are supposed to be identical. We find and actually it is a requirement that a team should have various kinds of characters, talents, personalities, and even roles, because it is a structure that completes one another. If all the people are so dynamic and and nobody's interested in details, the work will not be efficient. If everybody's interested into very, very details, and nobody has long-term vision, then we will find ourselves stuck into one place, in a loop, just going in circles, discussing the same detail points, but no achievements or no commitments. Therefore, to have a well-rounded team, various roles are needed, and this was specified, or was in Paul's words, saying that from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So every part of the team is part of a body that has a share. Not all the body is eyes, well, legs, well, ears, and this causes the growth of the whole body. So it is a biblical structure, or a biblical thought about different roles in a team. These are examples of some roles that is needed in a team. Any team can have some of them, all of them, or none of them, and this will also depend on it how effective the team is. The more variety of different personalities, talents, and roles we have, the more the team will be effective, and the more it will develop towards achieving its targets. For example, in a team, we could have the clarifier, somebody who always interpret ideas and define terms, and we even see this role model as our Lord Jesus Christ. He used parables always when talking to people in meetings, or he says the parable, he explains it to them to clarify ideas. So if we have somebody in the team who can even go a step down and go into explaining things maybe to people who did not get the idea that quickly, he is a very important role and a very important function in this team. We have the compromiser. when conflicts happen, sometimes the disagreements of ideas or conflicts happen during a meeting. If all of us are positive, logical talkers, maybe this discussion can go forever and it will never end. So we need somebody who has a compromising brain that who could take bits and pieces of everybody's words, maybe set up something at the end to solve a conflict or to propose a new idea or a new solving to this problem. It's an important role in a team. We have the census taker. This role is somebody who is in a team who is always, his eye is always on, did we make a decision? Are we reaching a decision? Because sometimes when we talk in a meeting or a discussion, or we keep on talking and we lose the track, and we, but somebody who's like a moderator of the meeting, and he says that, are we approaching a decision? Are we, did you agree on this, Khalassi? But all of us, we agreed on this. This is one point we agree upon. So he's always highlighting where did we go and how will we go on, instead of the meeting going like this in circles, and maybe at the end we will forget what we said at the beginning and points are lost. There is an encourager. It shows the acceptance to other contributions, and this role I think is extremely important in a team, because sometimes the conflicts or even trying to reach a decision or prepare a new plan becomes very frustrating, and people they are let down by problems they face, and not conflicts from among the team, even problems from outside. When there is somebody who says we're going okay, no, we can do this, no problem, this did not work out this time, it's going to work out next time. This kind of an encourager, it lifts the spirit maybe of people who spend a lot of time doing some work and sometimes it doesn't go right, and you find all your work is messed up or your assignment is not completed, but you need somebody to say it's okay, it's going to be better, we're going to find the solution. There is another role who is the follower. He serves like an audience in the discussion, but he is a support to the team. And we see this character like Saint John, who was always among the team. He was working, but he was very little in talking. He was following the leader, and he gave support to all the other people by being, because always when you follow somebody, you give confidence to other people that this person is okay and that the thing is going right. So he was a follower, but in his silence and in his obedience to his master and the Lord, he was a very strong example to all other people of the seriousness of the message. There is also the gatekeeper who helps to give good communication. The person who is very good at sending emails to everybody, communicating the outcome of the meeting, making sure everybody knows about the meeting coming on time. So a team to have somebody like this is an asset to the team, because if everybody is concentrating on the text and on the context, then maybe we will lose some people. Also there is the harmonizer. He helps to reconcile disagreements. It's more the help things to go in a meeting very smoothly. And there is the information seeker. Sometimes we talk and somebody comes up and say, but what is the background of this point? I don't know. And people take it, everybody does not understand, but everybody else takes it for granted that they know the background. But one person come and say, I don't know where this idea came from. So by asking and seeking this information, he elaborates to the other group of the people who may have neglected this point some data they should know. Also there is the informer. He gives facts and opinions. There is the initiator. Actually the initiator is somebody who is very active and very needed in a team, because he proposes new tasks, suggestions, maybe plans. So if we have an initiator in the team that has thoughts from outside or is looking a little bit further than all the other people who are looking just at the task or the activity in their hands, this will push the team to have more accomplishments and to achieve more goals. Also the opinion seeker is more like the one who asks for information, but he try to get of people out their opinions. Some of them are very interlinked, but they are very, very specific goals, and one person may have more than one role in one of these characters in him in the team to work as. There is the orienter too. He's focused on the team performance in relation to the goal. He's always comparing what we're saying to our goal, and he's focused on this, and nobody can distract that. There is the reality tester. He critically analyze and test ideas against the data they have, if it's practical, if it's not, if it's applicable, if it's not. The standard tester who expresses the standards for the team to achieve. He always reminds the team of the standard they want to achieve. And then there is the summarizer who accumulates ideas. He's like the documentary person who has all the ideas, the data, the opinions of all people. He gather them and have a full report of them. So these are the various types of people who should be among a team. So a team, when you structure a team, you should at least pick up 5, 6, 7 varieties of this in every field: person who thinks, people who documents, people who are initiators, to have various roles and to have various activities covered. Now we come to the stages, how to build a team, or to develop a team. We have already a team, we have stages to develop this team. Stage one is the forming, to set up a team. Now at this stage it's still very preliminary, a forming stage. Everybody is unclear about what he's supposed to do. The team members, they don't even know each other. Feelings are not dealt with. Nobody knows how the other person, what's his character, what's his personality, how are they supposed to interact. Members are testing the situation and each other. Everybody's going in, just testing when he says an opinion, what happened, how are they punctual or disciplined, or what's happening. Everything is unclear. We're in the forming stage. The second stage is the storming. After the forming, there is the storming. The storming is where having trouble getting, people start interacting. And then when people start interacting, first they don't know anything about each other. Everybody's a listener and there is distance. Now they start interacting, and this is storming, like the brainstorm. There is ideas, there is confrontations, and they start to have trouble, but they have troubles or harmony or whatever, it appears at this stage. Members at this stage, when they are still in the storming stage, they compete for power. And everybody's trying still to identify his role, what is he going to do, what is his capabilities. So people, they tend to be very they need the power, to be very challenging at this stage. They have disagreements about how to proceed, because not everything is very clear and very definite yet. Personal feelings start to get raised. Some person, he says, the other is too hard in talking, this is aggressive, this is too lenient. So they start having feelings, they express their feelings at this stage. They try to spot problem, work out a solution that meets everybody's goals. So this stage is a trial stage. It's like the brainstorming while solving a problem. It's a trial stage. Everybody tries to get out how he feels, how he sees things. Conflicts arise, people, they don't match at this stage, but it's normal. It doesn't mean that the team is not in conformity or is not working well, but it means that they are building up the relationship. The third stage is the norming, like setting the norm or setting the standard. But everything is becoming more clear. People, they know each other better. They express خلاص their feelings. They have their motives. Here we see work progress. At this stage, work starts. The previous stage, they're trying to get work done, but it's never, there is a lot of obstacle and boundaries, and work is not a big amount of work. The work is limited. But at this stage, work starts to appear. Production starts to appear. Team, they open, they ask questions, they give feedback. There is now interaction, there is more communication effectively between the team members. They know each other better, which means they work more smoothly together. the work even details and the work procedures are more definite. Now I know I do 1, 2, 3, and I don't care because I don't do 4 because I know that my colleague Mr. X, he does it. Khalas, roles are defined. We're not competing who will do what, because everybody knows his, where he stands, and he can communicate effectively with other members. Ground rules are very well established at this stage, so no conflict and no arguments, hopefully. Differences are resolved, and the harmony, respect, and trust and support starts among the group. So in the forming, they don't know anything about each other. It's just no confrontation. In the storming, there is big confrontation because nothing is settled or is formal enough to be a structure. In the norming, now there is a structure, so everybody knows where he stands, where is his compartment, he's working within it, therefore there is production. The performing is the fruit of the last three stages, and at this stage, the people, they feel pride in the accomplishments because goals and accomplishments, they start to appear clearly, and people feel proud that they have done so. We have maximum use of energy and ability to get the work done. Everybody is focused and his energy is in the right place. They have high flexibility because they are becoming a strong team now, so they are flexible with each other. No more conflicts or agitations or anything. Members' needs are met. Everybody is satisfied with his work and he's psychologically okay. Working, they work both together and interdependently, and members feel a close connection to the team. So it is normal that at the start of a team creation that there exists a poor communication. This does not mean that this team cannot work together, but it is very normal that at the start of a team development there is poor communication, there is many differences, and there is a tendency to look more into problems and struggle for unifying the concepts and methods. However, after we see the four described stages of the development, we see that these stages, they help each team member to understand where they stand, what are the roles, what are they supposed to give, what is expected of them, and they believe that by time, if the whole team focus is on the Lord, which is their objective and their mission, that we are constantly reminded with this main goal, we will certainly develop and reach the performing stage where each member would be using the maximum of his ability in unity and harmony with the other team. But the goal should be set. I have a very small example set on that. It's a biblical example, which is the case of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he did a team development. He successfully, and he was a prime example of someone in the Bible who achieved stunning results and success through team working. Actually, Nehemiah, he had three stages. He went through three stages in his team development. He made sure he had a real team. So the team was set up to be the real team, which is what we mean by real team, and this is very explicit in Nehemiah chapter 3, is by using the people and the families and the people who geographically lives in this area, and the priests, people who has the heart for this mission and who is in consideration or is connected to this mission, and he called them to be part of his team. So the team has to be somebody whose heart is in this mission. You cannot have a compatible and a harmonious and a good model of a team working together in an objective that nobody is interested in. So they have to be the real team, means their heart has to be in this mission. Then he set them a noble goal. Nehemiah, he gave them a goal. He said, I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words, and he had spoken that he had spoken to me. And so they said, let us rise up and build. So Nehemiah gave them a noble cause. He initiated them. They felt it's their call and it's their mission, and they stood up and said, we are going to build it. So a team leader should be very wise while choosing his goal in order to get people inspired to do it. The third step, it's only three steps that that Nehemiah used is that he kept the team focused on the performance challenge. The team should always have focus on what they are supposed to do. There were many distractions during the process of building of the wall, which was their mission. But he made sure that they are only focused on what they have to do, which is just building the walls. Any other problems that was risen during this period, he was the one to handle it and take it out of the team's focus so that they focus on the performance. There were posted guards. There were threats from enemies, so he put guards so the work would continue. There were corrective action for some relational problems. And it's in these chapters the story of each of them. There were enemies that sent fearing messages to the people, and he had to comfort them and answer them to that. He did all what he had to do as a team leader to make sure that the team members are focused on their activity and on the performing their goal. There is a very small exercise for every person, that he can do any time, that shows a dynamic team member strength. If you want to know your strength as a team member and measure it, there are some questions that by answering them, if you put S, which means you have this strength, and you put D if you see it's not in you and you need to develop it, and you can count out at the end what's your strength and what's the points of that you need your development. There are some example questions, and we can just go through them like this, but anybody can have it and do the test for himself. I understand and support the team's mission and goals. I put the team goal ahead of my personal goals. Is it yes, S, or D? Do I do this and it strengthens me, or do I need to develop this quality to be a good and effective team member? I listen to everybody on the team. I see conflicts as useful and necessary. I provide useful feedback to other team members. I communicate openly and honestly. I respect differences. I am dependable. I maintain confidentiality. I view feedback as an opportunity to learn. I state problems along with alternative solutions. I accept ownership for team decisions. I understand personal and team roles. I trust other team members. I work for consensus in team decisions. I agree and support team decisions. So how many S and how many D's will tell you how much do you need to develop in this field. And now we come to the section about our specific role, which is the teamwork with a servant's heart. Now, all what we have said are the theories that govern any teamwork. But our teamwork is a little bit more specific because it's servant's teamwork. So above all, theories alone, all the theories we've put are very useful and they are very applicable, but it will not produce the most effective service team without the love through which we are known as God's disciples. Because team service teamwork as a servant has one added quality, which is love, which is the whole message of the Bible. Without love, because our Lord said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So he said love three times. So any team working with all these models and harmony and technical theories, if they do not have love for one another, then it's not going to be a success. Also, this love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, this love is not something that we will be taught, or it's not a prerequisite, our theory that we will learn, but it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the unity of the team. It seemed to work, they should have the same vision, they should have talents to work among each other. And this is provided through the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that we work in unity. The Holy Spirit gives us all the same vision. Through the Holy Spirit, we all have the same vision, because we are all serving the same Lord. We have the same focus, the same objective. As St. Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you will be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." No team and no group can have the same mind and the same judgment without having the same Holy Spirit. Because we see teams in companies and they work effectively, but there is competition, there is problems, there is more conflicts. But with the unity of the mind and unity of the judgment that the Holy Spirit puts in each and every team member of the service team, this guarantees the success of what they are doing. Also, he said in Philippines, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, and in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." And this is another teaching of the Bible that maybe is not in the series, that each member of the team should look at his brother or his partner in the team as better than himself. So if this does not come, Bardo, except with love. If there is love, if there is the Holy Spirit among them, then each team member look to the others as better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So these are like extended measures and extended model the Bible gave us. It's not found in the business theories, and because yani, it's a little bit too yani, unrealistic. Also, the team work with the servant's heart, with the Holy Spirit, they have the specializations. Each member of the team has specializations and talents given to him by the Holy Spirit. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So also this is another model and another measure. It's a teaching of the Bible, and it adds to the teamwork the heart of the servant. Lastly, a focus of the objective. It's the last aspiration. It says that a servant or a teamwork with a servant heart may say, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I think as a servant working in a team, each and every one of them should have the same mind and the same mouth, and it's for glorification of our Lord's name. Thank you.
Okay, homework 6. Please indicate and define the characteristics of the non-orthodox beliefs. الإيمان الغير مستقيم أو التعليم الغير أرثوذكسية. Mentioned in the following verses. If you'd like to write them down, please. It's Matthew 7, 15 to 23, 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 8, Acts 20, 28 to 34, and 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 10. Now, Abuna's recommendation, actually it's not a recommendation, it looks like it's a must, that before doing this homework, you have to read this booklet. It's a booklet, it's not a book. It's a booklet by Abuna, Orthodoxy La Rishafi. And this is outside. No, it's the same. You will find it outside on the table. So please, each one should purchase a copy, and please read it before doing your homework. Now, this may be the bad news, that you have to do all this. But the good news is that you don't have to submit this homework before 2 weeks. And this is mainly because of the retreat next week. Next week is Anaphora. So we are not going to meet on Sunday evening like we do every week. نرحمكم يعني علشان هتبقوا في Anaphora لغاية الظهر تقريبا. So we will not have the regular meeting on Sunday evening, but we will have the retreat Friday through Sunday. That will give you 2 weeks to do your homework. Good luck.